The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus showed himself in this way. Gathered there together was Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to Simon Peter, We will go with you. The disciples went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples, Children, you have no fish, have you? The disciples answered him, No. Jesus said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So the disciples cast it. And now they were not able to haul the net in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, Simon Peter put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging a net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When the disciples had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to his disciples, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered to Jesus, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After this, He said to Peter, Follow me. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You've probably heard the word phobia in your life. And this is a fancy clinical term that basically means fear. And you've probably heard it associated with other words. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. Agoraphobia, fear of the outdoors or large open spaces. Claustrophobia, a fear of cramped spaces. Might be some phobias you haven't heard of. Xenophobia, a fear of different cultures. Negrophobia, a fear of mother-in-laws. It's a true psychological term. Actually, there's 572 documented phobias in the psychological handbook. The DSM. And there's another phobia, claustrophobia. That is a fear of change. We might not all be scared of spiders. We might not all be fearful of heights, fearful of tight, cramped spaces. We might not be fearful of big, large rooms or the out-of-doors. We might embrace other cultures and not be fearful of multiculturalism. But I think to some extent, we all suffer from the fear of change. Why? Well, I think we often feel threatened when confronted by change. When we're confronted by change, it often threatens what we know about the world. It can often threaten our standing in the world. It can redefine things. And that can often trouble us. We like to feel comfortable. We like to feel secure in our knowledge. We don't often like it when our boats are rocked, when change confronts us. And for good reason. Sometimes change isn't good. New Coke, for instance. The world didn't respond very well to that. Ford Edsel. Not a great seller. How about all the employees that worked at the Smith Corona typewriter factory? How many of them are still employed as technology changed? Not too many. Sometimes we are suspicious of change. Sometimes it negatively impacts us. But nevertheless, change is constant. Change is always happening. And how do we deal with that? Sometimes we retreat back into our own little world and we hope and wish for a simpler time. A time when things seem to make sense. A time when there seemed to be good order. But nevertheless, we cannot hide from change long. Today's gospel account is a story of change. And for us who live in the body of Christ, for us who are members of God's holy church, this is an important word for us to hear. Because I think we find ourselves in the shoes of the disciples today. We find Christ's disciples, people who have walked with Jesus, who have been taught by Jesus, who have witnessed Christ's miracles, people who know there's an empty tomb, people who know there's a bare cross. And now Jesus seems to be gone. And what do these people do? Do these people continue the ministry of Jesus? Are these people living out the Great Commission to preach, teach, and baptize? No. These are people who go back to the same thing they've always done. Christ called people who fish, and now that Christ is gone, they're going fishing. Well, Jesus shows back up. And their fishing isn't going very well. They fished all night, and they caught nothing. So Christ yells from the seashore, "Hey guys, try the other side of the boat." And they cast their net, and they catch so many fish. 153, we're told. Those who play at numbers would find that significant. 153 fish, they can't even bring the net in. Peter jumps in the water and swims to shore. The rest bring the boat and the fish in. And then Christ challenges Peter. And it's interesting. If we think back to the Passion narrative, if we think back to Good Friday, we remember how many times Peter denied Christ. In fact, he denied Jesus the first time around a charcoal fire outside a temple gate. "Are you with Jesus of Nazareth?" "No." "Are you one of Christ's followers?" "No." "Hey, he's one of these Jesus guys." "No, I'm not." And the cock crows three times. Well, today, we find Christ questioning Peter three times. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus. This is a story of forgiveness. Christ does not show up and say, Peter, woe to you, for you denied me, for you denied the Son of Man, you will pay the price. No. Christ comes back to Peter and has him reaffirm his faith again. Christ does not bring up the old. Christ does not hang it over Peter's neck like a millstone. But Christ once again invites Peter into his heavenly family. He forgives him. And he challenges Peter to tend to the flock, to feed the sheep, to continue with the ministry that Christ had begun among them. But that's going to involve change. They are now to be, as Christ originally called them, fishers of people. Shepherds to the world of men and women. And just so they know what they're getting into, Christ says to Peter, you are going to die for this. Do you really want to do this? For this will lead to your own death. A wise pastor once said, I've always trusted God with my life, but what I really need to do is trust God with my death. As we come today, as a people of the resurrection, we see God has a purpose and a plan for us. That the same forgiving Lord who forgave Peter, who challenged Peter, is the same Lord that we come to as we gather as a group. As we recognize that we have not always fulfilled God's mission, that we have not always glorified Christ in our actions, in our words, in our love for others. But the same Lord who comes to Peter with a word of love and a word of challenge, the same Lord who sends Peter out into the world strengthened and forgiven, is the same Lord that we come to today. And we'll be offered a word of love. We'll be offered a word of forgiveness and grace. We are offered a word of challenge. And we too will be sent out into the world to live as God's people. But it involves change. As we see in the disciples, they cannot simply go back to their old lives. They just cannot get in the boat and continue fishing. But Christ has a different plan, a different purpose for them. They are to go out into the world and to be Christ's people. And when we come to God, that too is meant to be a transforming experience. Like the disciples before us, we have a knowledge of an empty tomb. We have a bare cross. We have a risen Savior that I said on Easter is on the loose. That Jesus is all around the world doing all sorts of things and asking us to get involved. But like the disciples before us, we can throw up our hands and just go back to our old lives. We can come here Sunday, we can talk about grace, we can talk about forgiveness, we can talk about the importance that God has in our life, but what does that mean to Monday? Do we just go back to our old routines? Do we not try and practice love and forgiveness and compassion? Or do we work to feed the sheep, to tend to the flock, to be God's people? That's the challenge. A challenge to change. To have this mean something that we do right here. That this impacts what we do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That we look into the empty tomb. That we see the barren cross and it transforms us. It doesn't mean we quit our jobs. It doesn't mean we leave our families. But it means that we're called to live differently, to live as God's people. And the note of good news here, the gospel that comes with that law, is the knowledge that ours is a forgiving Lord. That ours will constantly come to us and say, do you love me? Do you love me? And I pray like Peter that we have the faith to say, yes, Lord, I love you. And we'll experience the forgiveness and the grace. And we will also hear the word of challenge, a word of change. Feed my sheep. Tend to my flock. What that looks like in everyone's life is different. God's challenges for us, the people that we encounter, is different between us all. But the power that we draw from, the love that we experience, the grace that renews us, comes from the same source. It comes from that empty tomb and that barren cross. It can be a scary thing to confront change. Even here in the church, there can be resistance to change. Sometimes we think back to more idealized times. Maybe times the church was full. Maybe times there were 100 kids in Sunday school. Maybe a time when the church had more influence. But that's not the way it is. The church is changing. The people that come to church are changing. The lives you lead change. But one thing that doesn't change is God's love for us. And also God's word to us. That God will be with us. That God will care for us. That God will forgive us. And that God will lead us. The same word of challenge that Christ gave to Peter 2,000 years ago is the same word of challenge that we receive today. How we live that out will look different. How we struggle with it will be different than Peter. But nevertheless, we come to the same cross. We stare into the same empty tomb. And we're renewed by the same Lord and Savior. We put our trust in God. That God has a plan. That God has a purpose for us as individuals. And for us as His holy church in this community. Where that leads us, we do not know. It might be like Peter, and it might lead to suffering. It might not. But regardless of that, we know that our final destination is safe in Christ. For because He lives, we shall live also. Amen.